Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. And I am thrilled to have on the phone with us KDWA's friend Matt Carter. He's the executive director of the Dakota County Historical Society. And we couldn't be more excited to learn all the good things that they're trying to get planned for the new season. Matt, how have you been? It's been a crazy last year, hasn't it?
It has, yes. Thanks for the invite to come back.
Well, of course. Of course. So how have things been going? You have three sites. Explain, maybe do an overview of what the Dakota County Historical Society entails.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, we have our three sites. The Losh Museum in South St. Paul is our headquarters. And that's where I'm, stationed most of the time. We also have our research library there as well as our exhibits. And that's kind of our main site that's open year-round. And then we also operate the Leduc Historic Estate in Hastings. And that site is open mid-May to mid-October. And the Sibley Historic Site is in Mendota, right across the river from Fort Snelling. And that site is Memorial Day weekend through Labor Day weekend. And we're anxious and getting ready as we look forward to reopening during our normal times. You know, last year with COVID, three of our sites were closed from March until July, and we were able to reopen the Losh Museum and Leduc Estate, but we weren't able to get the Sibley site open. And it looks like this year we'll be able to get all three of them open on time, and we're keeping our fingers crossed that nothing changes between now and then.
No kidding. Well, that's got to make you feel good to think that things are going to be returning to quote-unquote normal.
Yeah, and, the other common phrase is the new normal. So, you know, with our sites, we're adapting to that. So we'll be, asking visitors that do come in to socially distance outside of their own little bubble or their group that they're with. Keep that social distance. Face coverings will be required. We'll be doing a mix of, for the Leduc and Sibley specifically, not necessarily the Losh Museum because we don't do guided tours. We do have our quilt show that's open through April 2nd, so people can come in and take a look at that, dropping in. But with Leduc, we're going to be doing, and Sibley, sorry, we'll be doing drop-in tours again like we have done in the past, as well as pre-registration on our website. That way we can try and maintain the smaller numbers so that we can spread out in these older historic buildings that probably can't allow for, 15 to 20 people to socially distance adequately. So we'll be looking at smaller attendance numbers at least to start the year.
And that's fine, just to get us all back in the kind of the mood of how it works to actually be out in public again. We might have forgotten.
Yeah. Yeah, this last year we had the Leduc Estate, as I mentioned, was open for pre-scheduled tours, and we had decent numbers, but what we did find is our attendance numbers through our virtual programs just skyrocketed. We were fortunate that we had a grant that allowed us to host more than 50 virtual programs on, just Dakota County and Minnesota history, and, we had 30 different states represented in our attendance numbers for those programs, so our outreach expanded. Despite being, in our houses and not able to go out into the public, we were able to still, expand our outreach, which, we were surprised by, but for a good reason.
Absolutely. Do you think that's something you might continue then?
Yeah, so our plan is for the early part of the year, we'll be doing mostly virtual programs, especially those that are indoors. We do hope to do some of our outdoor events like the FET at Sibley with Fur Trade Weekend, and then the Civil War weekend at Leduc. We do hope to do some of that outdoors because we can, expand out and socially distance. But with our indoor events like our Mendota After Hours, book discussions, things along those lines, we're planning to do a hybrid of a in-person for those that are willing and able to come in, but also continue doing it virtually at the same time and allow people that either aren't comfortable or can't get out, either physically or they just live in Pennsylvania or the Dakotas and can't drive in for a one-hour program and then go home. We're hoping to be able to offer some of these virtual programs at the same time to you know, really capture our membership and get them so that they can be involved no matter where they live.
Matt, you mentioned that people were in so many different states taking part in your virtual programming. What drew them to you? Do you know? Did they grow up in the area? Was it a topic they were interested in, or how does that work?
Yeah, and that's what we've been trying to figure out. You know, the great thing that we've been able to determine is that our social media marketing is what's really getting the word out there. We had a book discussion just this last week on Thursday of last week. We had the author in attendance, and we had people from Indiana that registered. And again, they found out from the event based on what we're seeing through our social media marketing. And, you know, either their friends are sharing it, but, you know, to go back to your question, it's they're interested in the topic. Some of them do have a connection to Dakota County, and they found us that way. Others, they just happened to hear about it. You know, they decided that it was a topic they wanted to go into and learn a little more of. We've done a few on social justice and, you know, with our book club specifically. And there's actually a group of women that they look for topics like this, and they register for these to help with the discussion and the books and things like that. And so it's kind of a mixture of all those things put together. But, yeah, either way, it's resulted in some great programs that we've had and, you know, expanding our outreach.
Isn't that something a year ago you wouldn't have known that?
No, you know, we had a goal that, you know, within the next couple of years, we wanted to, in our board, you know, in our staff set this goal to try and, you know, do more digital and virtual type of things. And we set that at the beginning of this last year in 2020. And with COVID, it made us, you know, look at that a whole lot sooner than we planned. But, you know, again, taking the pandemic out of it, we were glad that we were forced to do this because, it's expanded our outreach and it's now set us up to continue doing that into the future.
Thanks, COVID.
Yeah.
Right? You know, Matt, do you think that it might be a fun topic to actually look back at some of the other pandemics that have plagued the Dakota County area? And I think that people now will understand them better, and maybe there's a renewed interest in different things, because this is not the first health crisis we've had.
No, it's not the first, and unfortunately, it probably won't be
the
last.
And
one of the things that we've really tried to push is people to record their story. Again, now that things are opening up, but whether, you know, they were in quarantine because of COVID, you know, basically just document what their life was like living in Dakota County during COVID. And as you suggested, it's not the first time it's happened. And we had diaries and journals that, you know, we could potentially try and track down in the past. But now everything that's being done digitally, people don't sit down and write in a journal the same or write letters back and forth to family and friends. So we you know, really, and we're not the only group that did this. Other historical societies across the country were doing this as well, but really pushing for people to sit down and spend some time and write in a journal or a diary or just on a sheet of paper what it was like. And, you know, I have two kids, and my answers to these questions of, you know, what was COVID like for you is going to be different than, you know, my son who's five. And so we put out a program or an opportunity for adults and parents to, you know, get their kids involved and ask them what it was like being in COVID. And, you know, my guess is for my son, he would say, well, Mom and Dad were home a whole lot more, which, you know, they may or may not appreciate. We don't know yet.
Well, isn't that something? That's a really great idea, because you think when you're in the middle of living this, you forget that we're making history right now.
Definitely, yeah. And if, you know, as I said, you know, we don't have the abilities. Now we have so much more abilities now with technology, but when it comes to the historical side of it, you know, as I said, those letters and those diaries and things that were being done handwritten, you know, those aren't being done as much anymore, if at all. So, you know, I think people have to actively, you know, concentrate and actively seek out the ability to do that. And that's where we hope people, you know, do that and then send it in to us so we can preserve it. So 100 years from now, someone else can look back on it and say, I wonder what it was like to be in Dakota County during COVID.
Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. And you like the written word, because 100 years from now, who knows if we would be able to play some sort of digital file, right?
Yeah, and that's where historical societies that, people can submit videos that they create, vlogging or blogging and all those new forms of media that are coming out. You know, we're open to any of those, but then it'll be on our organization, not necessarily myself, because I won't be here at that point, but, in the future to figure out how can we continue to preserve those and, the changing formats and the files and as you suggested, it'll all be different 100 years from now, so.
Absolutely. So did you just give your retirement plans or what's going on here?
Yes, within the next 100 years, I plan on retiring, so.
Matt, what else is going on? I know that summer is usually a time when you are excited to show off your spots. So what are some of the things that you're planning in particular?
Yeah, some of the events we have going on, I know Mariah was on the other day with the Leduc Estate. We're doing a Prohibition dinner, and our goal is to try and adapt that event to more of our sites, so the Loshie Museum and the Sibley site. So, we can do that and people can take advantage of those events that may have missed this first one that's coming up in just a couple of days. I know the other area that we're really looking at is Betty Crocker has a 100th anniversary coming up, so we're looking into some events where I think it's in July is what we're tentatively planning to have an author come in that wrote a book called Finding Betty Crocker, basically talking about the 100th anniversary of Betty Crocker and what that's meant to the people of Minnesota and the area, and then do some sort of workshop with a hands-on baking demonstration type of event. And then, as I mentioned, we're looking at opening our sites again in May, so getting those ready to go. We're optimistically hoping for our FED event, which will be a French-Canadian celebration, and Fur Trade Weekend, as well as Civil War Weekend. So we're getting those planned out to be, hopefully in person, and continuing to plan for some genealogy and our Mendota After Hours programs. And all this information, once the details have been finalized, will be able to be found right on our website, dakotahistory.org. And you can register for the events, you can register for tours, and hopefully find some more information that way.
So as far as your direction, where do you get your direction? Do you take it from the Minnesota Historic Society? Can you explain that tie-in again? Because you're under the umbrella, but you're not affiliated, or how does that work?
Yeah, so the Minnesota Historical Society is the overall state organization, and their main goal is collecting Minnesota history. So obviously there's a lot of overlap there. But our organization, the Dakota County Historical Society, is a separate 501c3 entity. And our biggest connection with the state organization is that we operate the Sibley Historic Site in partnership with the Minnesota Historical Society. With that, we have a lot of connections within their organization that, we utilize to help maintain and preserve and basically promote the history of the Sibley Site. But also, they have the grants that we're able to take advantage of. And right now, we do have a legacy grant out. It's a large grant, and we're working with the 106 group on a project at the Leduc Estate, actually, that will take the George Daniels exhibit and expand it and tell more of his life story and the family story, as well as some of the racial history of the area. And right now, we're still trying to define what the area is, because at the moment, it essentially includes the entire state, and trying to refine what that looks like. But our goal with this project is to basically tell that story in a more complete exhibit at the site itself. So,
Matt, does every county in Minnesota have their own historical society?
That is a great question, and I should know the answer to that. I want to say yes, and if not every county, most of the counties do. I know there's a directory you can go to on Minnesota Historical Society. They have what's called the Local History Services. And so that's a branch of the Minnesota Historical Society that really focuses on the local history side of it. And so they have staff that'll help, local organizations like ours, Dakota County Historical Society, but also community entities. Dakota County has a number of community historical societies within the county as well, where our goal, obviously the Minnesota Historical Society is statewide. our goal at Dakota County Historical Society is the county, so anything within Dakota County. And then these community organizations like Hastings Area Historical Society, they're focused primarily on the Hastings community and the surrounding area. And with the local history services, they're willing to help out, answer questions, and use their contacts with, you know, the state level and other organizations and, you know, try and help out as much as they can. You know, we're fortunate to have paid staff, but not all organizations do a lot. Some of them are volunteer run. The local history services tries to help out, you know, as many organizations as they can, any way they can, whether it's questions or encouraging grant applications and, you know, everything in between.
Do you think we have so much history in Dakota County because of the river?
We are fortunate within Dakota County to be at the confluence of the Minnesota and Mississippi rivers. Historically, settlements, you know, whether it was Native Americans or the Euro-Americans that came in, you know, they settled along the waterways. And especially Hastings, you know, the history with the river and the waterway there, that played a huge role in, you know, building their community in the railroads as well. So, yes, I think, you know, any chance there's a community that's along the water, especially historically, they had a better chance of surviving into, you know, what we have today with the modern communities.
Well, thank you for all you're doing. Our guest today is Matt Carter. He's the executive director of the Dakota County Historical Society. Matt, tell us again your dates that you're open and times of all three of your sites, please.
Yeah, the Lashi Museum in South St. Paul is open year-round. We're open Wednesday through Saturday. Wednesday and Friday, 9 to 5. Thursdays, 9 to 8. Saturday is 10 to 3. And our current featured exhibit is our quilt show, so that's open through April 2nd. The Leduc Estate opens this year. I believe it's May 13th. And we are open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 10 to 5, and we give guided tours on the hour at 10 a.m. and then again at 11:30, 1, 2:30, and 4. And then the Sibley Historic Site is open Memorial Day weekend through Labor Day weekend, and we are open Saturdays and Sundays from 1 to 4, and our tours begin at 1, 2, 3, and 4 o'clock.
Matt, thank you. Matt Carter, the executive director of the Dakota County Historical Society. They are going to be open for us to come and say hello. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.